Welcome to Connors Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Mike O'Connor, Jan Chenaeus, and Guy Rope, who was at the Amex on Saturday. In this episode, we're going to discuss the disappointing 2-1 loss for Fulham against Brighton Hove Albion. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my Connors Talk co-host back to the show first. Mr. O'Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. Thanks for having me again in such a short period of time, and I look forward to discussing this despite the disappointing loss for us this weekend.
Yeah, listen, I look forward to going through this match with you, my friend. Like I talked to you off air, one word comes to mind when I think of this match, and it's clinical. One team was clinical, and one team was not clinical enough, and we'll get through that. Mr. Chenaeus, how are you doing? Welcome back to Connors Talk.
This show is sponsored by David Halley's Optician 442. Yeah, I'm great.
That made my point, by the way.
I'm looking at Mike's the map of where you are, Mike, and I keep thinking of the song Wichita Lineman by Glenn Campbell.
I'm surprised no one's brought that up before, so well done.
I've never heard of that person.
Or the Monkees, Mike. Giannis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Look forward to going through this match with you. So thank you so much for joining us.
And before
we do anything else, I have to welcome Guy back to the show. Guy, like I mentioned, was at the Amex. Guy, welcome back to Carter Stock.
Yeah, cheers. Great to be back. I think it's actually been not that long since I've been back in Huddersfield. Yeah, cheers.
All right. Well, Guy, we're going to be leaning on you to really see what you saw at the Amex, but we all watched the replay, so we'll be sharing our thoughts as well. But I'm actually going to start with you, Guy. Just share with me your opening thoughts of what you watched yesterday.
What I watched was what I think is the story of our season. I feel like for a long time this season, we've been a one half team, and you know, our first half performance was that one half yesterday. You know, we dominated them completely in the first half yesterday, but second half, you know, they came out. I feel like it tipped on its head at a certain point, but you know, again, the word clinical comes to mind. You know, if we take in our chances, we could have been 2-3-0 up by half time, and because of that, Brighton, you know, they've got the 3 points.
They did, Guy, and listen, I want to go right back to you because I think the theme of this show is going to be clinical, because that's really the difference between the teams. I want to ask you, because again, I watched back the replay. We were excellent in the first half and weren't clinical enough. But I was actually surprised. I thought we did not play terribly in the second half. I just think that it really was a difference of a team taking advantage of their opportunities. Did you ever feel any time in the match that Brighton were dominating? Because even in the second half, they score the goals. I never felt that they were really on top. They just took advantage of their opportunities. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, no, I didn't feel Brighton were dominating at any particular point in the game. I feel like in the second half, most of it was played in the midfield, and we weren't having shots at goal nearly as much as we did in the first half. I feel like, you know, Brighton, maybe like they came at us a lot more, and you know, they were a lot more rough with their play off the ball, and they didn't really give us any chances to carve out a chance or anything like that.
That's a good point. And one theme of the second half, Guy, and you're going to agree with me on this, was yellow cards.
Yeah.
There were a decent amount of yellow cards in the second half. Yeah. So their approach was definitely different, but I don't think that we weren't good. I mean, we weren't great. We were decent in the second half, but they upped their game, and they were more physical in the second half. I think that would be a good way to look at it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right. I'm going to bring Giannis back on the line.
Hello.
Giannis, I want to get your thoughts, overall thoughts of what you watched in this match.
Well, first and foremost, we got beaten by a team that had Dunk and Bong. So that speaks for itself. But jokes aside, I mean, very good first half. But Brighton are an excellent team. And the thing, a couple of things I took away from the defeat. Firstly, I think we're very close. One or two signings in the January window will help us, I believe. And I'm sure Slavisa is already looking forward to that. And secondly, just on a separate note, what's it about Glenn Murray? Why is it every time he plays against us, he scores? And we've tried to get him in the past. I think my mum might have finished that second goal. But the fact is, you know, he's a good finisher. And I think he's 32 years of age now.
Yeah.
He's still a proven striker. But you know what? Brighton are a very, very good side. And we're that close. And we had him on the run first half. And second half, unfortunately, defensive lapses let us down. But having said that, even after the second goal, we had chances to equalise. So, you know, some stuff to take away. Disappointing loss, but we've got 28 games of the season to go. This is a long way to go.
Right, Yanis. And listen, I'm glad that you brought up some of the stuff that went on the second half, because like you mentioned, even though they scored that second goal, we still had opportunities late in the match. We also had other opportunities in the second half. The first half, the opportunities were definitely better, I think. But that's the encouraging part of all this. Listen, I'm very disappointed that they lost, Yanis. But there are things that you can take out of this. Like you said, you feel that we're close.
Yeah, very, very. I mean, I kept thinking, well, another striker. And I don't necessarily mean someone like Naki Wells either. I think there'll be strikers out there that will be available. We do have the money in the bank. And if we feel we're that close, you know, we may have to pay a little bit over the odds like you do in January deadlines anyway. But one striker, possibly another central midfielder, and I think we'll make top six.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. I'm now going to go to Mr. O'Connor to get his opening thoughts on the match. Mike, we did a pre-match show along, you know, again, we call it the FFC Weekly Roundup, but we preview the upcoming match, which you and I and David did. And it kind of played out similar to what we were talking about. You were mentioning clinical, so we've already discussed that. Overall, just share with me your opening thoughts of what you watched on the replay.
Overall, I mean, I honestly think that, before I even mention anything, I was on a few Fulham forums talking to a couple lads about the game. And, you know, some of them were saying that Brighton aren't very good. Some of them were saying that they're a mediocre team. Some were saying that we really should have beaten them. And I have to disagree with that. I think Brighton are a fantastic team. I think they're well-drilled. They're disciplined. And what they lack in any sort of technical finesse, which I don't think they do. I think they've got great players. But they deserve to be where they are because they are a complete team. So first and foremost, I want to give full credit to Brighton. They won the match simply by being, like we've said numerous times already, more clinical in front of goal, being well-drilled and disciplined. And they were a team that, although battered in the first half, came back in the second to come back from a 1-0 down and win the game. So I think they did very well. Overall, I don't think our problem as a team, and it's been the issue all season, I don't think necessarily we're a one-half team anymore. I think that was last season. I think this year we've actually played very consistently. I think our most inconsistent problem, though, is our inability to score. And I think that's the only piece right now that we're missing to the jigsaw, so to speak. I think that if we in January can get that pacey, more technical striker that can finish these chances in the box and make these goals happen for us, that we're going to be a top six team for sure. I have to agree with Yanis completely. And overall, I'm disappointed with the score, but I'm not disappointed with the way the team played from what I saw. I think that the entire time they seemed pretty composed. I think that they did as much as they could. I think our center of the field play is very well done. I think our team is unified well. Our passing is accurate. Defensively, we're decently sound. I think the big issue, and it was a glaring issue, is our inability to score. And I know David Stockdale made some very good saves, and that, you know, sometimes that's just what happens. But it's the fact that we should have been more than 1-0 up in the first half. And if you're only 1-0 up away from home and the other team gets a chance to reset at the break, you're always going to be in danger of having them rally against you. So, I'm not disappointed with the team play. I'm just disappointed with the scoreline simply because of our inability to score. But I'm not upset with the team's performance as I would have been last year when they would have capitulated and just looked like a second-tier team. I think we matched Brighton man for man, and it was a very close match that could have gone either which way. So I'm upset with the score, but not upset with the performance per se.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I'm going to go right back to you because I think you're going to find what Savita had to say after the match interesting. I think it's going to be a little similar to what you just shared. So I'm going to give you the head coach reaction, and then I'm going to go to Giannis and give him the reaction from Chris Hughton, the Brighton Hove Albion manager. But I'm going to start with you. This is what Savita had to say after the match. Again, you can go right to the Fulham website for the head coach reaction. Here are the quotes from Savita, Mike. Quote, "We created many chances, but we didn't find the end product. We didn't put the ball in the net. We conceded two very cheap goals and paid a hard price. Okay, if you don't score the goals, then concentrate more and make sure you don't concede the kind of goal that we conceded today. It's frustrating that we weren't clinical enough in the first 45 minutes. In the second half, I didn't feel that they dominated us and made so many chances, but the half chances they made resulted in two goals, which was the complete opposite to us. We played very well in the first half and created the chances, but we didn't score the goals. At the end, they punished us very hard. It's a hard punishment for myself and our away supporters, but we have to be brave and believe in ourselves and each other and push hard. It's an ugly afternoon for us. We're not happy, but we're going to try and play similar in the next game, which is in front of us. I believe we're making progress. I believe we play very good football. I believe we created enough to go back to London with some points, but we didn't do that or didn't do it." All right, Mike, what are your thoughts about what Savita shared after the match? It sounds something similar to what you already just said.
Yeah, it does. I think my big issue is that it's the same thing week in and week out from him. And I mean, at the end of the day, what's he supposed to say about something like that? So I'm not too critical on him, but it does tend to be the same, not really excuses, but logic and reasoning game in and game out. But I honestly do think his very last little quote there, that he believes we're making progress and that we play very good football. And I have to agree. After the last 3 to 4 seasons, this is the best we've played. This is the run of form we've had in a while. I mean, we've been looking at relegation battles for the past 4 seasons, and now we're sitting in 10th, looking at top 6 potentially, depending on one or two strikers coming in or some player changes, or simply some of our current crop of players just finding the back of the net more often. So I think he's done a very good job with this team, and I think he has every right to be a little frustrated and upset that we didn't come back with at least a draw. During the pre-match show that we did, as I said, I think we need a minimum of a draw. We need a minimum of a point to keep our momentum going. And unfortunately, that didn't happen, but it very well could have. And I think we do play great football. And I think that he's got us going in the right direction and that this is truly one of those matches that we definitely could have gotten something out of it. And on the run of play, I think a draw would have been a very fair result. So I like what he says. I think he's very honest and very critical in his assessments of his player, which is definitely what's needed. But I'm also getting a little annoyed about the same reasoning week in and week out. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, so to speak. That's kind of my initial reaction to what he had to say.
Okay, very interesting there, Mike. And listen, I hear what you're saying. We are hearing similar things, but I do like what he did say at the end, because we are making progress. So I'm glad that you pointed that out as well. And the point that he made, that I felt same way in the second half, that they didn't dominate us. They just took advantage of their opportunities, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying. And I mean, agree with him on that.
It's absolutely true. I mean, you just look at the statistics, which I'm sure we will. Yep. By no means were we ever battered in this match. In fact, statistics, just looking at statistics, we were the better side. If you just take the pure numbers game out of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. The numbers will back that up. But in the end, it goes back to you, Mike, being clinical. I mean, it's just, you know, I hate to just get so simple with that, but that's the difference between the two teams. And I'm glad that both you and Giannis have said this. This is a good team. This is a good team. This is a very good team. They're a very drilled side. They know who they are, and they take advantage of their opportunities. That's who they were last year. That's who they are now. They deserve to be where they are. But what I got out of this, Mike, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think Fulham's that far off like Giannis said. I think we're pretty close. If we play a team like this the way we did, and we actually are more clinical, we're with them.
I agree with you completely. And again, that's it's not even an issue of we need a wholesale change. It's just finding the one or two missing pieces that will make that, I guess, that final third attacking end product happen. And once we do that, we can beat anybody in the league. And that's all we need now. It's just that final end product. And once we have it, and I think it will come by the midway of the season after Christmas, I think we'll have it. And it's going to be a much brighter second half of the season. And I'm not even upset where we are now. I would have taken this if you had asked me before the season started. 10th place at the end of November? Absolutely. So I think we're looking up.
Okay, very good then, my friend. All right, I'm going to bring Giannis back on. And Giannis, I want to go to you. Definitely want your thoughts on please feel free to share your thoughts on what Savisha shared. But I want to share with you some comments, quotes from Chris Hughton after the match. And you can get this on the Brighton Hove Albion website because I find them revealing as well. This is what he had to say. Quote, "We were nowhere near our levels in the first half period, but I was quite confident that we'd be better in the second half. But whether that meant we get the goals or not concede again was always going to be down to our quality and ability. We were up against a very good football inside and who are very expansive. If you don't get tighter to them or keep the ball well enough, then it's always going to be tough. It was a typical championship game with a lot of incidents, but fortunately for us, we came out on top." Then he has some thoughts about David Stockdale. "For David, he was probably tested more than in any game so far this season considering their goal and the amount of corners and crosses they sent in. They were really good quality in their deliveries, so he had to make sure he positioned himself very well. But in a game like this, against a quality side like Fulham, you do sometimes need your goalkeeper to make good saves, and that's what he did." Then a little bit further on in the article, he has a few more quotes. Quote, "It's about looking at the momentum we've got and getting the kind of results that we got today. That's more important than looking at the league table. If you're somebody that looks at the league table on a regular basis, you'll drive yourself mad. It's about thinking about the next game and putting into practice the things that we do well. We didn't do that in the first half period, but fortunately, we did that in the second half." All right, Giannis, I want to get your thoughts. If you want to share your thoughts about what Savisa had to share, feel free to. But I also want to get your thoughts about what I just read, the quotes from Chris Hughton. What stands out to you?
Just how honest he was. I mean, I think that pound for pound, he's the best manager in the championship. I will challenge anyone that questions that. I just think that he's done a fantastic job at Brighton, and he was honest in his assessment. We tested them. Stockdale had to be Stockdale, of course. Had a very good game, and we asked lots of questions of them, and they knew at halftime they were in a battle. They obviously had a couple of words to say, made a couple of adjustments, and they came out firing on all cylinders. What Slavisa had to say was honest as well. You know, we've played pretty well. I know it's often it's execution and finishing, and as long as we create the chances, we remember, you know, a few years ago in the Premier League where we were going through whole games and not actually having, you know, having one shot on net. At least we've come a long way there. But the good news, and I'm sure Slavisa doesn't need reminding, is the fact that we are a striker short. So Brighton, I'd be stunned if Brighton don't finish in the top two. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. I think they're maybe they're a better side than Newcastle, and the very least better coached. And they did well to come back. But with Slavisa now, he knows he's got to, you know, talk to the powers that be, and ask him to get the checkbook out, and I'm sure he's got his eyes on a couple of targets. But I did like Hughton's assessment. It was bang on the money, and it gave us a lot of credit, which I think we deserve.
You know what? I think we do deserve the credit, even though we did not get the result that we wanted. The performance was good, except for getting the goals that we're all talking about. And what's interesting, you know, so I'm going to go right back to you because I've been going back and forth with one of our listeners, Stuart Roberts in England. And Stuart actually shared something with me that, you know, he wanted to actually want, he said, "Hey, feel free to share this during the show." It kind of goes with the theme here. This is what he said: "A new top striker and we'll be in the Premier League next season." That's what Stuart Roberts said after obviously listening to the match. and watching what's going on with Fulham. What are your thoughts about that? Is he right? Are we right? Is it really just about getting that striker that could catapult us into the playoffs, and we'll see where we go from that point on?
Yes, he's actually bang on. He's not only bang on the money, but there's one name that I think, and I don't know if they're going to sell him, but there's one name for me I think that stands out as somebody we've got to take a crack at. Again, depending if their club cracks to sell him in the transfer window, and he's going to cost a bit of money, but I think he might be the answer.
Who would that be?
Britt Assombalonga.
Oh.
I think he's the answer. I think he's got everything, and he's still young, and he's still hungry, and I think Notts Forest would nibble with the right offer, and we'll have to pay a little bit more. He's not the biggest lad, but he knows how to score goals. He's a sniper. I mean, Brighton have a Glenn Murray, and he's, what, 32? And
that's
in
right.
in this league, you know, I mean, we're not going to get someone like a Dwight Gale, who, you know, regularly pops them in for Newcastle. But Assombalonga is going to scare the bejeebers out of them, any team we play against. So if we think we're going to make top six, we're going to have to pay over the odds. But it's not like we don't have money in the bank. So that would be my answer. I'm not sure what the plan B would be. It certainly wouldn't be Nicholas Bentner.
Yanis, it's funny because you mentioned a name that you don't think is the right guy. I happen to like Naki Wells. You don't think he would be the right target for them?
I'm not convinced. No. I think Assombalonga is a better player. Naki Wells, I don't think he's quite there. Although, I mean, he is a good player. Isn't it funny though that you look at yesterday's game and the chances we created, and you think what would have happened if Mac had been in that position? You know, I mean, isn't it ironic that the way it's turned out that someone like a Mac is someone we probably could really do with right now? And sometimes when team players go to a new team, you know, you don't become a bad player overnight, but sometimes the fit isn't quite there. And I don't think Mac's fit with Villa is there, whereas it was with us. So, hey, stranger things have happened. But honestly, the transfer window in January is usually pretty weird and wacky, as you know. But I'm keeping an eye on that just in case something really kooky happens.
Okay.
But in the absence of that doesn't happen, Assombalonga, I think, would be a very good. I mean, not that I don't mind Naki Wells, but I think if we're going to get it, I think we've got to go top shelf, and I think he'd be the answer.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Guy, I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to bring you back on here, my friend. I'm going to spend a little time here with you because I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11, and then I'm going to come right back to you. We're going to talk about the first half, and that's how we're going to continue on with the show. But let's start with the starting 11. There were a couple of changes here. So when you were on your way to the Amex, I'm not sure if you were there yet. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11?
Yeah, honestly. I didn't know what to think of it. I don't know why he made any changes at all, because in my eyes, we had a working system. You know, I did hear, like, here and there that Fredericks could have been injured. And, you know, if that was true, then Odoi is understandable. But, you know, as much as I like Aite as a player, I don't really think he should have started, or I don't think that we should, you know, change a winning team. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think about, well, again, we're not sure because, again, we were talking about it on the last show about Mike was curious if we had heard anything about Fredericks. Fredericks came off the bench. But were you surprised to see that Dennis Odoi was starting?
Well, he came off the bench and had a good impact against Sheffield. So, in a sense, I wasn't surprised. But just my mentality about the team, again, if Fredericks was injured or had a knock or something, then it's understandable. But I'd rather the manager didn't change a well-performing team.
Okay, very good then, my friend. All right, let's get into the first half. I'm going to go to you, and then we'll go back to our co-hosts and get their thoughts on the first half. You were there. So I'm just going to share a couple key moments, and then I want you to overall just evaluate what you watched, because for me, it was a very good first half, except unfortunately, not enough goals. But let's get into it. And let's give Brighton some credit. They had a couple of opportunities early, and I'm going to highlight in the 13th minute, Glenn Murray had a shot on target, but David Button deflected his opportunity over the net. This was a decent opportunity. They worked this nicely, but then only 5 minutes later, you have the goal from Kevin McDonald. It was a header off of a corner, and there was actually a corner before that. So there was some good moments there that actually led to the goal. And then roughly about 10 minutes later, you had a really good opportunity to score from Floyd Ayite, close to making it 2-0. Seriously, he was close. This was deflected, but it was a nice save by David Stockdale. 5 minutes later, you had an opportunity from Scott Malone. He had a great chance to score, but once again, Stockdale came up here. I believe a little bit later, you had Scott Malone have an opportunity to score. I believe there was a deflected shot from Sonny Aluko. There was good pressure throughout the first half. I thought Fulham played a very good half of football. Unfortunately, only one goal. So I want your overall assessment of what you watched in the first half.
Again, in one word, it'd be critical. You know, all the chances we got, all the chances we made, you know, Stockdale, you know, credit where it's due. He did make a few great saves, especially with the Ayite chance. But, you know, if we'd have only been a bit more clinical, we'd be 2-3-0 up by then. It was definitely a great first half in comparison to the second. I feel like we were definitely the better team. We dominated the first half. And while Brighton did have a few chances here and there, I wasn't too worried. I think the second half should tell the story, though.
Okay, very good there, my friend. What did you think about later on? Because when I was watching the match, what was interesting about this, we score the goal in the 18th minute. Then you have these opportunities. It's funny because it was good to watch the replay because I didn't see on the brief highlights the opportunity by Aluko. Again, it was all about the play. It was all about the pace, but they just couldn't finish. They just could not, for whatever reason, they could not finish their guy. So did you see things that actually encourage you moving forward? I'm talking about just the style of play in the first half.
If you're referring to the chance I've got in mind, everyone in the crowd was shouting for him to square the ball. So, you know, was it? I did hear a few people in the crowd, you know, complaining he's a bit selfish. He's getting a bit selfish lately. But
he had teammates. We were you're right about that. He had teammates.
I saw Kenny running through the middle and all of that. Yeah.
Good point.
You know, we were making chances, and that was the important thing at that point. You know, we were 1-0 up. Obviously, it's nice to get a second goal. We deserved to get a second goal from that performance, but you know, he's had the shot, it's not gone right. You know, we move on and we carried on with a nice first half.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I'm gonna bring on our co-host, get their thoughts on the first half. I'll go to Mr. O'Connor first. Mike, obviously, we're focusing on being clinical, so obviously we could talk a little bit about that. But overall, when you watched it back, what were your thoughts about what you watched?
I think it's exactly what I spoke about in the pre-match show where, you know, I brought up the fact that I think that Brighton were going to let us play true football against them. They weren't going to just try and sit back.
You were right about that. You were right.
And I think what we showed in the first half, which is what that little team talk with Chris Hughton was about once they got into the half, luckily they got in 1-0 down, was that, and he admitted it, we play very great football. We are a footballing side. We're not, we don't just use strength or power or any sort of set piece, you know, perfection. We actually go out there to play against another team. And when teams stand up against us and try and play, you know, football against football, we actually tend to either outclass them or even at least play evenly with them. And I think the first half showed that. It showed that we can go up against the number two team in the league and we can play some brilliant stuff. We can open up their defense. And our big weakness, as we've all talked about before, is our inability to score. And I think that 1-0 down was not very good for us because you always knew in the second half that after a performance like that, Chris Hughton and his ability to be such a great man manager and know how to make tactical changes on the fly. You always knew he was going to do something to tweak his side that would give them a little bit more of a cutting edge up front, especially at home. So we really did need to finish off Brighton in the first half if we were going to get anything out of this game. I think it would have been a fair result in the first half had we gone in 2-0 up. I think 1-0 up was a little bit disheartening after seeing that replay, looking at the highlights and listening to Jim over the radio while it was live. And it's very unfortunate that a lot of our chances are falling to our midfielders and our defenders. I mean, I know that's the way that Slavisa plays with his generally one striker up front. But when you're asking Scott Malone to start scoring for you regularly, you know, that's kind of not necessarily the wrong answer, but his job isn't to just be becoming our lead scorer, because Scott Malone, it seems game in and game out, it's a credit to him. He's a great player. I'm really glad we have him. But a lot of our best chances in the last few months have been falling to Scott Malone, and he's not a striker. That's not what he does. He'll put in the odd goal for you, like against Sheffield Wednesday when he came up with the 1-1 equalizer. But we need to be making sure, kind of as Guy was saying, that when guys like Aluko are in the box, they're not getting selfish and that they're squaring the ball off if there's someone open, or that men like Aluko are able to actually put an accurate shot on goal rather than kicking it straight at the goalkeeper. So the first half, I think we played brilliantly. I think we outplayed Brighton for sure. I think we battered them. I think it was very unfortunate we were only 1-0 up. And had we gone 2-0 up into the break or anything above that, but at least 2-0 up, I think we would have ended up at least at a minimum getting a point. But I think we would have seen off the game. I think that would have made Brighton's heads drop a little bit. But going in 1-0 down with the strikers and the team that they have and the manager they have, they always had a chance to come back and win it. So I was very, very happy with the first half. I thought we did very, very well. And that's why I say I think we perform consistently. I think we're a very good squad. I think we just need to find that missing piece. So overall, it was a great first half. It's the second half where we obviously questions are to be asked.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And I don't think it's crazy to say that 2-0 or even 3-0. Seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The opportunities were there, my friend, to be even 3-0 up. And that I think is the lost opportunity of this match, is that it was there for them. They had their chances and they just did not come through. Yes, you got to give credit to David Stockdale, but you have to be more clinical. You have to put that on yourself to get those goals. The one other player I want to mention before I go to Giannis is Floyd Ayite. Floyd Ayite had a nice two nice shots on target. One in the first half that was deflected, yes, but I was encouraged by the fact that he was shooting from distance too. So I just want to mention that, my friend. But I now want to go over to Canada and talk to Giannis. Giannis, your thoughts on the first half, my friend?
It was excellent first half. We played really well, and very, very pleasing to the eye, and we created chances, but we couldn't finish. It's the age-old stuff, and I'm sure that Chris Hughton probably went into the change room at halftime and said, "Thank God for that. It's only 1-0. My God, they've absolutely battered us." And he must have said, "Well, you know what? Knowing they're finishing, they may not score another one. We're right in this game anyway." It didn't take them long to come back in the second half. And they played well defensively. I mean, there's a couple of things we still need to tidy up. The second goal that Murray scored, for example, you play to the whistle. Right, and right. We stopped. And to me, that's, you know, it's every coach will tell you, you know, even, you know, from the younger ages, you always play to the whistle. And for some reason, inane reason, we decided to stop. Having said that, we've created enough chances, but playing with the one striker up top means that players that you ordinarily wouldn't expect to want to score goals or expect to score goals, you put pressure on them to do it. And we shouldn't be expecting our fullbacks to score goals regularly.
And Mike just brought that up. Good point.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I like the 4-2-3-1, but I think at times we need to modify it. I still prefer to have two strikers up top. I think it gives team's a different look, for sure. I like the fact that Aluko and Ayite were flipping sides in the first half.
I like that.
I mean, as wingers, that's pretty good, but you still need, I still think you need a greater presence in the centre. On a separate note, Ryan Fredericks, I'm assuming he had a knock, just not going into the game, because Ryan Fredericks would be one of the first names I put in the lineup. So every week, you know, he excites fans. He's difficult to play against because of his overlapping runs and his runs from deep, and he likes to attack. I wouldn't have started Odoi, so that's why I think Fredericks might have had a knock. Apart from that,
okay,
no problems with that lineup. But credit to Brighton. Second half, yeah, they I think they stepped. It looked like they stepped it up a bit. The pace, of the game, and we. But having said that, the two goals we conceded were rather daft.
Especially the second one, Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I'll be going to Guy get his thoughts on that in just a second, because the second one I've watched several times. And these are that second one, that's a fixable mistake, meaning moving forward. I hope they learn from that, because that was preventable. That was preventable, my friend. And I think that's the part that really gets me, is when you look at it, and I've watched it many times because I wanted to really get a fix on what went down there. And that, to me, is preventable, and that's on us. And, well, that's also credit to Brighton, because they have two good strikers that linked up and did very well to take advantage of their opportunities. I'm talking about Baldock and, obviously, Glenn Murray. They were the difference in the game. Simple as that. Sure. They were the difference. Those two players, because and they have a good team, and they have some dangerous players like Anthony Knockhart and they have some players, but when it really comes down to it, their strikers made the difference. All right, my friend, I'm going to bring Guy back on and get Guy's thoughts on the second half. And Guy, I'm bringing you back on, my friend, and I'll just share with you some things that went on in the second half. Like I mentioned before, you know, I think I have to mention this, both teams, several yellow cards in the second half. So I just want to start off with that. But in the 52nd minute, you have the goal by Sam Baldock. So we can talk about that if you'd like, Guy, when I get to that. In the 69th minute, you have the opportunity by Floyd Ayite. Another chance to score, but David Stockdale made another save, which led to a corner. And then you had the opportunity by Dennis Odoi. So there were a couple of opportunities there. In the 75th minute, Brighton almost made it 2-1 at that point. The shot by Baldock went off the post. And then, unfortunately, in the 79th minute, Guy, you have the goal by Glenn Murray to make a 2-1 header. You know, and definitely want your thoughts on that, my friend. In the 84th minute, this is something that I definitely want your thoughts on, and also our co-host. That's when you have the triple substitution of Cabano, Paison, and Fredericks. Was this too late? Possibly. And I think definitely want your thoughts about how late the substitutions came. 90th minute, Scott Malone was shouting for, you know, basically shouting for being fouled. I think possibly his shirt was pulled. Want your thoughts on that? I couldn't get a good view on that on the replay. Definitely want your thoughts. And then, of course, you have the 5 minutes of stoppage time, which was a good amount of time, but really, you know, all you had in the end was the opportunity by Kearney, and they just cannot get that equalizer, my friend. All right, what's your view of the second half, Guy?
Second half, I think I said it at the start, you know, Brighton came out stronger. I feel like in the first 5 minutes, we were playing the same type of football we were playing in the first half. But then, you know, Brighton got into the game more and cut us off, really. I heard a few people on the way back saying how they thought the difference was when, you know, it all changed when Button got booked for time wasting, and that it affected the team mentality. I can kind of see that as a point of view, but what I see is just Brighton making chances, coming out stronger, and poor defending from the goals we conceded.
Okay, very good. And I do want to mention this because we're messaging back and forth, because I wanted to focus a little bit on Floyd Ayite, and you mentioned the Floyd Ayite song.
Yeah. I don't even mind embarrassing myself and singing it right now, if I'm completely honest. But I started it before kickoff, and that's why I just like it's got a bit of a soft spot for me now since we started it. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I forgot, like, it's like, when I see Aite, I go out my head. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. All the things you do to me and all the things you said. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. We slip and slide as we fall in love. And I just can't seem to get enough. You know, I've woke my cat up now.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm too impulsive for my own good. But, yeah,
that's okay. Guy, before I go back to the co-host, I want to get your thoughts on both goals. First of all, the goal by Baldock, which made it 1-1. Thoughts on what went wrong there?
The finish was on. I don't know, because it was a great finish. Credit where it's due. It's a great volley. But I remember hearing Jim and I think his name's Jamie's co-host. I think they were on about Kalas's header, like how, you know, they probably should have got it further away from goal, and it was probably hard for Kalas to get it much further considering he was in the 6-yard box and whatnot. I reckon we could have got it away, but, you know, credit where it's due for the finish.
Okay. And then, of course, you have the go-ahead goal by Murray. I have to get your thoughts on this. Yeah. What went wrong here? I mean, this was like falling asleep, my friend.
Yeah, Yannis said it, play to the whistle. You know, I think we could have stopped the cross even. You know, Adoy's on Bulldog and all of that. I think if we could have stopped the cross, it doesn't go in. The goal was avoided. But even then, you know, giving a player as clinical as Glenn Murray, who's already got 10 goals before yesterday, you know, giving him that much space, you know, there's literally no one around him. They've stopped. They want the offside, but they've stopped, you know. You know, if it was offside, fair enough. But even if it wasn't, they shouldn't be giving a player like Glenn Murray that much space in the box, because he will do something like that. And lo and behold, he did it. You know, just play to the whistle. Get in front of him, you know. Give him a hard time. That was easy for him to finish.
Oh, way too easy, my friend. All right. I'm going to bring our co-host back on. Let's go back over to Mr. O'Connor. Mike, back over to you. And want to get your thoughts on the second half. And one thing that I definitely want your thoughts on were the late substitutions. I've seen much talk about this. I was surprised it was so late. But give me your thoughts about what you watched in the second half and also the substitutions late by Fulham.
Well, first of all, I just want to comment on how we just said, you know, way too easy, you know, way too easy of a goal. He should have made it. One of those have been gifted to Aluko, one of ours. He probably would have shanked it over the top of the goal, because that seems to be the story of our season so far. So, I mean, we just need to find that one name on the team sheet that any ball drops to their feet, and we're like, yep, that's in the back of the net. And right now, I don't think I can mention a single player on our squad that I have full confidence in scoring. So, unfortunately, when you got a guy like Murray and you're looking at the crosses that come in and putting it on a plate for him, so to speak, it's no surprise that we ended up losing when you look at the way that second goal went in. The first goal was brilliant. It was a very impressive volley and very well taken strike and good form for scoring it. But it is the simple things, like letting these crosses go in and shutting off when you think that the offside is going to get called, when some of these referees have been so poor in the championship that you can't think for a second that they're going to make that decision. You play to the whistle. If you don't hear it, you keep fighting on. That's just the way that this mentality needs to be battered into these guys. And I know usually they do it, but one slip up like that cost us the game. So for the overall second half, again, I don't think we were necessarily outperformed extravagantly or by any means. I just think Brighton came out, they tweaked their formation a bit, they changed their style, and I think that we stuck with our plan A, and sometimes you need to have a plan B. Like, you need to have a different style to play in the second half if they're going to come out like that. You need to have maybe some player swaps or some positional changes. And I think the big issue was Slavisa never did that. I think he just stuck with the same formation, the same players, the same positioning, the same mentality in the second half. And when Brighton made their change, we didn't. Brighton obviously changed it to counter the style we were playing and the mentality we were playing with. And we never, I guess, countered their counter with the change in our style of play. And I think that's what the real nail in the coffin was, because I do think we were more than a match for Brighton. But when they make a change because they see in the first half that they were battered and they're making a change to come at us, and we, I guess, refuse to adapt, that is when the trouble happened. So I think these late substitutions that we're talking about, to go into that, kind of make a segue, is a little too late. I think that I know we are the team that scores the most last minute goals, but you can't rest on the idea that that's going to happen every game. And I think the Cabano Ayite change needed to happen either right at halftime or around the 55th minute, about 10 minutes into the second half. Piazon, I don't know if you take a Luko off. I think I don't know what Piazon's doing there on at the 84th minute. I think, and Fredericks, obviously, I mean, he came on in the 85th or something like that. All these changes were made around the exact same time, around the 85th minute. And if Fredericks was available and it was because of a knock and he wanted him to play the last five, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not a tactician or anything like that, but giving these guys 5 minutes to make an impact when you're a goal down away from home, they need to be given more time to warm up, more time to get a feel for the game and the players that they're going to be marking and the players they're going to be going up against. So I think these substitutions that they were going to be made, they needed to be made a lot earlier and allow the team to kind of gel a little bit more together and realize what they're up against. So overall, in the second half, I think we played well. We just didn't adapt, and that's what cost us the game. And to kind of go with that, the substitutions weren't necessarily the wrong substitutions. They were just made at the wrong time. They were made too late. They weren't able to make an impact, and that's why we ended up losing, just failure to adapt in the second half and too late on the substitutions.
Very interesting. All right. I definitely want to get Giannis's take on that. Giannis, back to you. I want to get your thoughts on the second half, but also what Mike just shared, because I definitely agree with him about the substitutions. He brought up that possibly maybe Savica should have adapted earlier. And now that I'm thinking about it after hearing what he has to say, I'm agreeing with him, because, again, we're on the road. When it's 1-1, maybe he thinks at that point, you know what, I need to change something, because certainly Chris Hughton did. And that helped them. So again, what are your thoughts on the second half, and also what Mike had to share? Definitely want your thoughts on the substitutions here.
Well, it wasn't like that we necessarily played badly in the second half. We had a couple of brain cramps, and that's the best way to do it. But if you're going to try and come back into the game, I think leaving it till 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go in the game to do your wholesale changes isn't good enough, because you're not giving your players a lot of time to warm up. You are simply going cold, and it's three players as well. So, I might have been inclined, and we can always second guess, right? But
sure.
I might have been inclined to make the subs just after the second goal had gone in. Saying, okay, let's give them a different look. We've scored one goal, but it's obviously not going to be enough. And I would have done it then. I'm not sure what he was waiting for, but it's one of those that I know fans are going to be second guessing. I know one of the phrases that fans like to use is Fulhamish. And they'd say, well, him not substituting players is a little Fulhamish and somewhat conservative. But listen, we're all touchline. You know, we're all managers. You know, from the stands or from far away, and we all think we know it better. He must have seen something or been advised something where he thought he'd hold off, and then at the time he did bring him on. You know, he thought the last 5-6 minutes there may have an impact, but it was a little bit too late. I'd have done it earlier. It's one of the few things I think he got wrong. But I'm sure he's going to look back at it and say, well, maybe I should have asked different questions a little bit earlier in the game and we might have got one back. But having said that, we still created chances late. So it's not like
we did.
It's not like it was a complete disaster. So that's the one positive way to look at it.
Right. It is, Giannis. But then you think, what if we made the changes earlier? We would have possibly created even more chances. But I hear what you're saying. Sure. It's just, you know, listen, it's the classic second guess. Here we are, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, that's what we're going to do, especially when we lose. Well, why didn't he make the substitutions? But I agree with you. With 5 minutes to go, and then of course you do have the stoppage time. But still, is it really enough time to make an impact? I don't think so. So, you know, and that's why we are second guessing him. All right, my friend. Very good. Let's move on. Let's look at the full-time stats. I want all three of you to take a look at the full-time stats. I'll go right back to Giannis. I'm going to read them to you because when you go through them, you're looking at it and you're thinking, who won this game? But let's go through it. Possession. Fulham had 59% to 41%. Total shots, 14 to 11 in favor of Fulham. 5 to 4 on target in favor of Fulham. Corners, 7 to 3 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 26 to 12. In favor of Fulham. Tackles, 19 to 15 in favor of Brighton Hove Albion. Attempted passes, 550 to 388 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 258 to 143 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, 82 to 76% in favor of Fulham. Accurate passes, 456 to 296 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels in favor of Brighton Hove Albion, 15 to 7. Fouls, 14 to 12 in favor of Brighton. Oh, great. Giannis, what stands out to you from the full-time stats here? What story does it tell?
The 59% possession is excellent. I mean, I really, especially away from home, 29,000. I think the total shots, 14 to 12, is very, very good. And you know, all the way through, I mean, the passing accuracy is very high as well. You know, it points to domination, except on where it really counts, and that's on the scoreboard. So those are the positives there. And, you know, it's like stepping over a cliff. I mean, if you step over a cliff, you're not going up, you're going down. And all the factors and statistics point to the fact that really the one problem that we had, that we've often had, and we have, is the inability to stick the ball in the back of the net. We lost a goal scorer this year. So now we need to, with the money we've got in the bank, we need to address the imbalance. You look from these statistics, and the big one is the number of goals, one. Yep. So that's where the powers that be need to get their, you know, and I don't mean Slavica, but the owners get their heads out of their bottoms, get the checkbook out, and be prepared to pay over the odds for a striker that's going to take us in top six. Top six, I think we're as good at, we have as much a chance as anybody. And when, remember, there might be, I mean, Newcastle losing to Blackburn yesterday.
That's right.
Hilarious result. Absolutely hilarious. Almost made my weekend, because the arrogance of Newcastle fans believing they're going to come in and walk the division. And Blackburn, that's with right. the chicken farms with Venkies, come in there in front of 52,000 and knock them off. And that just goes to show this division, anything can go wrong. Norwich, for example, the bottom has fallen out lately. So there are going to be changes and shifts. And providing we stay healthy and we've got the strikers, these statistics bear up well in terms of moving forward. It looks good. And it just tells us, Russ, how close we are right now.
We're very close, Giannis, and the league is so close. I was looking at the table, and it's just interesting to see the shifts. All of a sudden, Derby County has jumped ahead of us, and Derby County started off very, very badly. Aston Villa is on the same points as we are now, so it can change so fast. That's how close the division is, and we're not that far off. And a couple of victories can change our fortune very quickly. It's really about the goals right now, and I agree with you, my friend. All right, I'm going to bring Guy back on, and then I'll go to Mike to get his thoughts as well. Guy, first of all, to you, what stands out to you from the full-time stats?
The fouls, or you know, the yellow cards, the tackles, all of that type of stuff. Just because I was there, and that's really what caught my eye. It was all rough. It was all crazy. I think even Slavica was having a go at someone at some point, but you know. If you can put, you know, you can say it's the type of match that comes out of this league in a way. It is a cutthroat league, and you would expect those type of games here and there. I just question how many of the tackles should have been fouls, but that's for the referee to decide, and we will know how good the referees are in this league. So. You know, it definitely pissed me off because what is it? In the first half, Martin got involved in a challenge and got booked for it, but Glenn That's Murray's right. done the same to Fredericks and he didn't get booked, you know. Yeah,
that's a good point there, my friend. Yeah. You know, the refs actually, like I said, you know, it's
if I'm right, it's the same ref that ref the Norwich game. We were all calling him a wanker all the day.
I'm not sure. But very, very good point by you. I'm going to bring Mike on now. Yeah. Mike, what do you make of the full time stats?
I mean, the full time stats do everything. Do justice to everything that we've been saying. Like you're looking at number two Brighton and you look, I mean, if you're just looking at the table and as Chris Hughton said, you keep looking at the table week in and week out, you'll go mad. You look at Brighton who's on 38 points. They're second in the league. They have a goal difference of 17 goals for Christ's sake, 17 goals to the good.
Yeah.
And yet we've battered them in possession, in number of shots, in the shots on target. We had more corners. We committed less fouls. We had more accuracy. We had more possession. I mean, it's the fact is, if you look at those possession stats and you see a 2-1 win for Fulham, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But then you see 2-1 the other way. It's insanity, really. And it's not like this is the first time we've seen this. This isn't an enigma or a mysterious game in our season. This is week in and week out. In fact, the games in which we don't have the most possession and we are battered by another team, that is unique. That is the games that we just were kind of off for that match. And okay, you chalk it up as a loss and you move on. And it just shows, I mean, yeah, we might only be in 10th right now. We might be a few points off of the playoffs right now. But as you stated, it just takes a couple of wins on the trot for us and a couple of draws and losses for those above and around us. And suddenly you jump 3 to 4 places in a couple of weeks. So we're definitely not too far off. And I'm not disheartened by the loss or disheartened by where we are in the table. I think what will dishearten me is if we don't get that addition or two that we need to put the goals in, because right now we're creating all the chances. We have the ability to go into another team's backyard and take them on head on and be better than them all the way down the pitch. If you look at statistics wise, the only thing that changes the headlines on BBC or BN Sports, whatever you follow, to saying Fulham disappointed due to late goal against them, to ravenous Fulham put another 5 past Rotherham or whatever you want to say, is the fact that we just need that missing player or two to start bagging the goals in the back of the net. So I think what stands out to me is how dominant we were, and yet we end up losing. And I think if you go back and watch the video of Tom Kearney on Fulham TV saying how good it was to lose it, he's genuinely upset because he knows how good his team is and he knows how good we can be.
Right.
So I think it's just doing a disservice to this team if come January, come the transfer window, Slavisa goes to the higher management and says, this is what we need. And if they say, no, you don't, work with what you have again, then there's nothing we can say to blame him, because you know for a fact in his previous – pressers, when he talks about, yeah, I'm very satisfied with my team, I'm not going to make big changes, but I am looking at one or two. It's very obvious he's looking at the attack, because defensively we're sound, we have a positive goal differential, and midfield, we probably have probably one of the best midfields in the entire league. The difference is he needs one or two strikers up front, and these statistics week in and week out show that. So it's heartening and disheartening at the same time.
Very good there, my friend. And listen, two names are the difference in this match, and they are Baldock and Murray. I mean, that's the difference. That's the difference right now. That's why, you know, you look at Brighton now, like you said, what's the difference between the two teams? The strikers. Yep. You know, I still think Chris Martin's going to score a good amount of goals for us. I do. But I think he needs help. I think he needs another piece to help him, a different type of striker. A real clinical one, to go along with him. I like Chris Martin, and I think he's someone that that Fulham should buy permanently. That's just my thoughts, but I think that he needs help. And if we get the help, I think we're going to go up the table. All right, guys. Mike, right back to you. Just to end the show, I want to get your thoughts. What your man of the match? You watched the replay. I want your man of the match, and also just give a rating to Slavisa together.
Okay, let's see. My man of the match for us would have to be Johansson for me. It kind of goes back off of what David was saying in the pre-match show. I think he's a very underrated player in the fact that he doesn't pop up with many goals. You don't see his name on many highlights, but I think he battled very, very well in the midfield. I think he's stalwart in defense, and I think he's very good going forward. He's our box-to-box midfielder, and I think it's his tenacity and his aggressive style going forward that really kind of frightened other midfielders, and he's very spontaneous. He'll pop up in one area of the pitch, and suddenly he's on the other side battling for the ball once we've lost possession. So for me, it goes to Johansson as man of the match. And I'd say my critique for Slavisa, I don't think he did enough. I think he did fine, but I don't think he did enough. I think if I was to give Slavisa a rating out of 10, he would get a 6. I think he didn't adapt in time. I don't think he really adapted at all until the 85th minute. And I think it was just far too late. He should have put a halftime switch in there, maybe with Cabano at halftime, Piazon around the 60th minute. And sure, Fredericks might be injured, so maybe he comes on in the 80th. Give him 10 minutes rather than 5 to kind of find his feet. So Slavisa did fine. I think he's got a good team chemistry going, and he knows how to speak and get to his players. But I think he needs to, when he starts finding himself away from home, 1-0 up and then suddenly 1-1 and then you're down 2-1, he needs to start making changes more quickly rather than just sticking to his original plan and hoping it pans out.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I'm going to go now over to Guy. All right, Guy, who was your man of the match, and also give a rating for Slavisa? I want to mention a player. I don't know if you're going to mention him, but I don't know if I call him a man of the match, but a player that continues to impress me is Scott Mullins. So I just want to mention him. But who was your man of the match? And give a rating for Slavisa here.
Yeah, Scott Mullins, he is doing well, you know, definitely an upgrade on Richards. And my man of the match would go to Aiete, though, not just because I'm biased and love his song. He actually he actually did create a few chances, you know. He's not afraid to shoot.
I like that about him.
Exactly. I love that about him. You know, the chances he did take, what, both saved by Stockdale.
Shoot from distance. Don't be afraid to shoot from distance.
Yeah. I'm dying to see the moment where he puts one in. You know, he scored against Crystal Palace, but that doesn't count. Aiete, not just the shooting, you know, he was linking up play well, you know, switching with Aluko in the first half and whatnot, passing well. He was really involved, and he's my man of the match for that.
Okay, and how about Slavisa? Yeah. Do you agree with Mike Slavisa, 6, or would you give him a higher or lower?
I'll give him a 5, but for similar reasons. I just don't think he did enough. Yeah, and the subs, again, you know, like Mike said, and like I put in the chat, you know, if Frederick is injured, you know, cut him some slack a bit, but the other two, can get them on a lot earlier.
Okay, very good. All right, yeah. Giannis, you're going to get the final word here. So I want your man of the match. And also, I want you to rate Slavisa. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I think Fidel Castro had a good game. No. I think I'd probably give it to Johansson. And it's funny because I'm not the greatest fan of him. And you know that I've been critical. I was critical of us picking him up, but he has played well for us, and I thought it was a big part of yesterday's game. I actually thought Aiete was pretty close second as well. Slavisa, I'll give him 6.5, and the reason I'll be a little bit generous is that although his substitutions were late, if Fredericks was injured, there's not a lot you can do about injuries, number one. Right. And number two, at the end of the day, it's not like we didn't create chances. I mean, he'd be getting an 8 or a 9 had we converted those chances. He can't step across the white line. And that's the frustrating thing about coaching. You can get them ready, but the players still have to do their business, and they didn't. So I don't think he should necessarily be punished, but I thought the late substitutions were possibly a little bit of a problem. So I'd give him 6.5.
Okay, very good. Giannis, can I call you the man from Mississauga?
Absolutely. And as you can see from the map, I'm not in Toronto and parts of that place I certainly don't want to be, but we're near to Lake Ontario, and the weather here, if I look outside, is it is overcast, and we may get a little bit of rain, but we've not had any snow yet, which is good.
That's good, but
the best bit of all is I've not done any Christmas shopping, and I'm absolutely screwed.
Okay, well, you better start that. my friend. All right. All right. Final thoughts before we go, my friend.
Wonderful show as always. We knew it was going to be a tough game. We ended up losing it. The Reading game is going to be outstanding. I don't expect anything less than 3 points. I think we're going to turn them over. And as I said, it's been a lot of fun. It's nice that we can all be as positive as we are, despite the fact that we lost yesterday.
It's hard because, you know, everyone wants them to win. I want them to win. We all want them to win, but I think it's important that we look at this and we judge against who they played against, and we actually really look into the match. And I think we're all disappointed. But if you're honest and you were there like Guy, and Guy, I'm going to go to you in a second, you're going to see some things that you can take out of and say, man, if we just make a few changes, we're not far off. And and that's, you know, it's funny because I was trying to think of a comparison, Giannis, and then Guy, I will go right to you. Just trying to think of a comparison where I am on this. And I know it's a New England Patriots one, but it was goes back to 2001 when they played the Rams. And they narrowly lost that game. Then they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. But that was a good measuring stick. This was a good measuring stick for them. The result didn't go their way. But when you play a team like this that's currently number two in the league, and you beat the team that's in first, there are some positives going on here. And they just have to fix their issues, add some players like we're talking about. And I think we got a good chance to be where I think they're going to be, which is top six. I think they're going to be there.
Absolutely. We'll
see that in the end. You know, but that to me, it's not, I don't think it's wrong for us to have some positives to take out of this. Guy, over to you. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts. Giannis, you're not the only one with cats, because your Fidel Castro joke had me laughing, got the cat scared and ran across my laptop. But in all seriousness though, you know, despite the loss, it's glad we can all be positive. You know, I do feel like a lot of fans, we are making progress, and you know, it is only a matter of time till we are up there in that top six this season or not. I feel like we're in a good place as a club and as a fan base. We can definitely look forward and be optimistic.
Yeah, listen, it goes back to something Giannis said to me a few hours ago. We're close, and I agree with him on that. Mike, over to you. Final thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I think it's the first season, and like I've said numerous times now, 3 to 4 seasons where I go into the weekend I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to win each match, or at least be competitive and keep it exciting, rather than thinking, you know, oh, here we go again, same old Fulham, losing again. So the fact that we can lose and we're in 10th and we are just missing one or two little pieces before we start really challenging for the top six, I do honestly, sincerely, and genuinely think we will be in the playoff positions come the end of the season, and I think we will be in the playoffs. As for will we win it, you know, too early to say that, but I do think we will be in or about 6th or 5th position, and I think we'll be there in with a shout. And I think I agree with Giannis. I think we're going to turn over Reading. I think it's going to be a 4-1 victory for Fulham, to be honest with you. I think we're going to just turn them over. And then the next few matches we got coming up are Rotherham, Wolves, and Derby County, I believe. Not necessarily in that order, but those are the next three after that. And I think we're going to have a good chance to have a positive spell going into the Christmas season. And if we can continue this form and this positivity and make these small adjustments to start banging in the goals and keeping up with our great statistical analysis that looks like we've been really dominating teams for the most part, it's going to convince the striker or two we need to join up, because they'll see us as a real promotion challenging team, and we'll be onwards and upwards from there. So it's a really exciting time, at least in a long time, to be a Fulham fan, and I'm looking forward to it.
Very good there, my friend. I'm glad that you mentioned the matches coming up, because I agree with you. If you look at the matches, they're all winnable matches, including Derby County. Derby County, like I mentioned, have all of a sudden got in front of us, but it's winnable. These are all winnable matches. There's no dominant team. If you want to say it's Newcastle United, fine. We've already beaten Newcastle United. They can beat anyone that they want to, you know. And again, it's, you know, I think it comes down to them fixing their issues and being more clinical. If they do all that, we're going to have a very good season. And I'm not, you know, again, I'm disappointed by the result, but I'm encouraged by the play. And we'll see what happens in these upcoming matches. It's a wonderful opportunity. Mike, that you mentioned, because if they get on a roll going into the Christmas season, we could be in really good shape. All right. Those are my final thoughts. But it is time. It is time to wrap up the show. For Mike, Giannis, and Guy, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.